Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Rose Villa CEO Glenn Lewis. The Portland, Oregon-based Continuing Care Retirement Community will continue on its sustainability efforts as future growth occurs at the 22-acre campus. In 2025, Rose Villa is starting in on its Resiliency Action Plan, in which future growth includes environmentally sustainable development alongside integrating technology to improve operations and resident care. This also comes as Rose Villa prepares to roll out its latest five-year strategic plan to envision what the future holds for the community.
And I think that there are great business arguments for why it makes sense to live into a sustainability and resiliency model. But at the end of the day, we have a resident population that really wants us to do it.
Now, here's my interview with Rose Villa CEO Glenn Lewis. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
Thanks. Good to talk with you. Happy to be here.
And for those who might not be familiar with Rose Villa, can you just describe the community for us? I know we've tracked the journey for many years now, but we'd love to just hear it from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Rose Villa, we're a Portland, Oregon-based continuing care retirement community. We're best known for transforming senior living. We're the first to offer net zero neighborhoods, pocket home neighborhoods, and a gray water reclamation system. We are a place where everyone cares about leaving the world a little better than they found it, and certainly a place where everyone can find a safe place, a place where they can be themselves, and also a place where they can love whoever they love.
Wonderful. And we know that you recently joined the organization, and I'd love to talk about how your past experience maybe informs your role and how you look at the strategy of helping Rose Villa into the future.
Yeah, I joined Rose Villa in April of 2024 after a journey most recently with Wesley Life based in Des Moines, Iowa. And, I amazing journey with Wesley Life. Prior to that, I was with Aegis Living in Seattle. And, I just arriving at Rose Villa, Rose Villa was a dream opportunity for me because of everything I just described and who we are as an organization. And my roots have been in the Pacific Northwest for a really long time. And there was certainly a desire to get back to the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And what a great opportunity to land at Rose Villa. But my journey at Wesley Life was really my first journey in the nonprofit CCRC space. And Wesley Life, with a 77-year history in senior housing and most recently in so many other areas of the nonprofit world and helping older adults and adults of all age brackets in the Des Moines, Iowa area, really informed me to have a clear understanding of the power of what you can do as a nonprofit and the power of what you can do through philanthropic work and how that can inform and reach not just the seniors that you serve or the older adults that you serve on your campus, but where can you take that journey outside of the walls of your campus? And I really learned a lot of that and experienced a lot of that with Wesley Life. Wesley Life was an organization or is an organization that, runs the Meals on Wheels program in the city of Des Moines, was involved in the public health program in the city of Des Moines, and has done so much from a philanthropic point of view that allowed them as an organization to meet the needs of people, not just in senior housing. And that has really informed me as a leader stepping into Rose Villa to think about, how do we continue to progress in the senior housing space? How do we continue to change what senior housing is? But where are the needs in our community that we can take the collaborative genius that exists on CCRC campuses like this all over the country and our resident base and team member base, use the philanthropic arm and goodwill of our organization and really step beyond that? So I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm excited about and really what I learned at Wesley Life.
Wonderful. I appreciate you sharing that insight. That's really helpful and kind of thinking from a high level how that informs your role and what's ahead. And we know that when we last connected, there's a lot going on campus for Rose Villa. I'd love to hear more about the 10-year master planning process and really, if you wouldn't mind, summarizing some of the recent development activity that's happened, because we know it's been pretty busy.
It has been, you know, and Rose Villa, right before I came to Rose Villa, Rose Villa closed the chapter on a 10-year master plan. And that was, you know, 10 years of major redevelopment at Rose Villa and major repositioning of Rose Villa as a campus. And that included two net zero neighborhoods, the first of their kind in the senior housing space. And a complete redesign of our campus, the pocket neighborhoods that I mentioned, the gray water reclamation systems. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, and we also, I arrive at Rose Villa, we have all of that 10-year master plan redone, and we're sitting on a 400-plus person wait list that is, you know, super excited about this product and super excited about the offerings. And so we immediately decided, boy, we closed one chapter, we need to open a new one. And so in late 2024 and beginning of 2025, we've been actively involved in a 5-year strategic plan. We are finalizing that and we'll have that done in the next couple of weeks. And then we are opening the chapter on a 10-year master plan for Rose Villa. So both of those are in the works as we've signed our master plan contract and for our partner through that process, and we will be actively engaged in that in the next week or two. Our strategic plan is pretty much over the finish line and will be done week after next. And in the meantime, we've continued to work on our operations, and we've continued to be really focused on our sustainability efforts. Now, right before, during my time or before I came to Rose Villa, Rose Villa as a campus developed a 25-year resiliency action plan. And that resiliency action plan is something that we live into as an organization and really guides us. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because, unfortunately and fortunately, we had a garage burned down on our campus. And as part of that process, it would have been very natural and very easy for us as an organization to just replace like for like. I as the CEO of the organization, and understanding that we had a 25-year resiliency action plan with some very specific actions involved in that 25-year plan, we made a choice to redevelop the garage as what we define as a Rose Port, or a resilient building on our campus that helps us live into the resiliency action plan and be a more resilient community in the face of a natural disaster. So that is in the process of being constructed and should be finished by, probably August of this year.
That's really exciting. Do you have any details you could share about what's maybe included in this new space? I know we'll get to discussing sustainability here in a moment, but if there's any details you could share, just a quick follow-up on that. But if not, I understand.
Absolutely. So the idea of a Rose Port on our campus, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think I mentioned, but you know, we're located on 22 acres in Portland, and if you ever came to Rose Villa or get the opportunity to come to Rose Villa, what you will see is that it's an interaction of neighborhoods, and it's an interaction of micro neighborhoods, and so the campus is spread out with unique architecture throughout the 22 acres, and when we built our 25-year resiliency action plan, one thing that we wanted to make sure was defined was what we called Rose Ports, what we're calling Rose Ports. And they are these resilient buildings, and we defined 8 of them through our campus, located at various areas through our campus. And they could be a functional building. So in the case of our garage, that's our carport garage that's being rebuilt, yes, in everyday use, it will have 4 cars parked in it, resident cars that use it as parking spaces. But in addition to that, it's earthquake proof. In addition to that, it has solar panels on its roof. In addition to that, it has a rainwater storage system on it and a potable water filtration system on it. And the solar power is the solar power generated goes into backup battery storage units so that we are storing power in the event of a power outage. The idea is that as we construct these Rose ports on our campus, in the event of a natural disaster, that is where residents and team members would report to. And they would be able to be there in a safe space. They also have food storage in them. This building will have food storage in it. It has the backup power that we talked about. And it has enough rainwater storage at full capacity that we could provide drinking water to all of our residents on campus for up to 3 days through our potable water filtration system out of that. So it has all of that built into this. And then as we continue to live into our 25-year resiliency action plan, we will identify other locations. Well, the locations are identified, but we'll be able to identify other buildings that we will demo and rebuild with the same idea in mind.
I think this is a perfect jumping in point to really discuss not only the resiliency action plan, but also more broadly, how sustainability really plays into the vision about the future of senior living at Rose Villa. I'd love to understand really, I think it's one of the things we've discussed previously, is how resident input has really shaped one, the master planning process, but also probably your thinking in drafting this resiliency action plan. So I just want to talk about how you really look at taking in that resident input and what comes out of it, because we know that the sustainability concept is something that a lot of people in not just Portland, but across the country are really seeking, especially a contingent of the sought after baby boomer cohort, is that they're really driven to communities that take sustainability seriously. And so just understanding how resident feedback and input plays into the resiliency plan, I think would be really awesome to learn about. Can you share just how you think about resident input as these processes really take shape?
Yeah, I love that question. And it's something that I feel incredibly fortunate to be the leader of a campus that has a resident population that really, truly, I think, wants to leave the world better than they found it. And the sustainability and resiliency side of things is one area that they feel passionately about. And, I think that our resident population here, the community itself is very driven. The culture of our community is very driven by the residents. It is a community that is we use the term vibrant a lot and in our industry. And I think that, vibrant can be, well, what are all the activities that you have going on your campus? But the other side, when I say vibrant as a campus, it's a very involved campus. It is a campus where residents here really want to be involved in how our organization is shaped, informed, and continues to live into its values into the future. And the sustainability and resiliency side is one that they are extremely passionate about. And so, we have a green team on our campus, and that is made up of residents. And I know a lot of campuses have green teams, but I will tell you that this is a green team that really pushes us as an organization to put our money and our actions where our mouth is. And I think that that is why, as an organization, we are doing so many of the things that we have done. So, it's easy, as I think it can be easy as an organization, as the leader of an organization, to just say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're excited about it. We think it's right. And here we go. But you got to have buy-in. And for us and for me as a community, what we see so much from our residents is, hey, this is where we need to go. And you, as the leader of the organization, need to help us get there. And the passion around sustainability and resiliency quite honestly, has all been driven by our residents. You know, I'm super passionate about it. I want our organization to operate in a way that does leave the world a better place. And I think that there are great business arguments for why it makes sense to live into a sustainability and resiliency model. But at the end of the day, you know, we have a resident population that really wants us to do it. And so we take that input from our green team and we work between the administration of the organization and the green team, the resident population green team. We work around building a 25-year resiliency plan. We're right now in the process of getting ready to kick off a 25-year sustainability action plan. And all of that will be in collaboration between resident and team member administration working to make that happen. I think I shared with you, I know that we've had numerous conversations, but you know, one such example is our residents wanted to get consensus and shared ideas of best practices across our organization with other organizations, other CCRCs in the Portland metro area. And they completely organized a CCRC climate resiliency summit that they had here. And we had 180 plus residents, not just from Rosevilla, but from five other CCRCs in the Portland metro area, coming together with their green teams and their administration to share best practices, share ideas, and then also work on how can we work together in a collective effort to really help other CCRCs live into better practices in this area. So it's a resident population that is very driven around that.
It's wonderful to hear, and I think encouraging to hear also that some of these things are happening, and that's so exciting that you're able to bring residents together, not just from Rosevilla, but from across the Portland metro area. That's awesome to hear that you're able to build those connections. And I know that this resiliency action plan is something that you're very passionate about, and I want to get your thoughts before we move on to discussing kind of the integration of technology and aging. I want to get your thoughts as it relates to the broader senior living industry, maybe even the CCRC space, because I think CCRCs offer a great place for not only innovation, but also kind of a testing ground for new ideas as it relates to senior living. So when you're thinking from a 30,000 foot view about the progression of sustainability in senior living, what are your thoughts? And do you think operators need to be paying closer attention to this and not just using it as a marketing gimmick?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, what I would say is, let's look at what's going on in the world right now. I mean, I think when we think about the amount of climate disasters that are starting to occur, it's astonishing. I mean, that number has gone up significantly in the last several years than we have seen previously. And it started, and those natural disasters have started to impact areas that were not impacted previously. Or if so, not as frequently as it's occurring today. And so it's, you know, there's a direct business cost when that happens. There is a direct impact, not only on the area affected, but then, you know, one such example I always talk about is, you know, how are we impacted? How are organizations impacted in the property and casualty insurance space, right? I mean, property and casualty insurance renewals are going up significantly across the United States. And for CCRCs, those costs are rising pretty significantly. And certainly in areas that are more prone and more impacted by these natural disasters. Now, what we have seen for us as an organization is, you know, we watched our property and casualty insurance in 2024 for renewal for 2025 go down, not up. And one of the main reasons that we were able to have that impact is because of so much of the stuff that we've been talking about. Having a 25-year resiliency action plan, having a plan that clearly mitigates our risk in a natural disaster, that we can provide, you know, validated action plans and bullet points and infrastructure that codifies that and makes that very clear to our insurance partners. So I think it's important from a business case perspective. I think it's also important from a safety and security perspective to our residents. And the other thing is, I think that, you know, you mentioned this in your question, is that I was having a conversation with a resident this morning, and I was talking about where, you know, we're so unique in the CCRC space because we have a collective 400 people living on our campus that have a range of backgrounds, education, and experiences that are unlike that in many other areas combined in a 22-acre space. And being able to tap into that and being able to help them or have them help us really identify areas that we can be better and contribute on a better way, I think is really valuable to us. And so the sustainability and resiliency piece, we've really tapped into that with our collective resident population. And I think it's also really important because when we think about that from a CCRC talent opportunity, then collectively across the country, we have a really unique opportunity in the sustainability and resiliency space to make a large impact across the country. So I think that I would really encourage, peers in the industry, other CCRCs, let's go for it, right? Let's collectively do good work and leave the world a better place in the sustainability and resiliency world. If we're building, we have to build, right? And we can take small incremental steps in how we build, as an example, that reduces our environmental impact. We can choose alternative renewable energy sources when we're making those choices. We can lead by example in our collective communities to show our communities that this is important from a generation that I think most of the world and country respects.
Most definitely. And I know another thing that feeds into this mind of innovation, if you will, is how that senior living operators, especially on the CCRC side, really have a chance to, as you put it, be an incubation zone for new technology and aging. How should operators be thinking about this? And what are some recent examples you can share? I know there have been a few new technologies you've deployed to either track resident health or improve resident health. So I'd love to understand how you view Rose Villa as a space for that incubation of really new technology in the space. And would love to hear some of the things that your team's doing.
Yeah, well, regarding an incubation zone, I think I would not be alone in saying that, you know, my phone rings and my email dings, you know, at least 10 to 15 times a day with some technology company that is reaching out to me to try to convince me and the organization that we should be using their product. And it's really hard to get through that mess. You know, it's really hard to read another email and take another phone call and try to understand, is this a product that is going to enhance the quality and well-being of services, amenities, resident health, or resident experience at our community? And so we were really intrigued by that, basically. And we were fortunate. We had a business partner in the Portland area, a woman named Barbara Conan Adriance, who got a grant from the state of Oregon, and through her organization, the Malden Collective, came to us as an organization and said, "Hey, we've got some grant money, and what I want to know is, you know, do you have any interest in test driving or creating some partnerships with some tech companies? We can filter, you know, 15, 20 different tech companies and basically bring them into your organization for 3 to 6 months to a year at a time. And through this grant, be able to allow your residents, your team members, or residents and team members, depending on the product, to interact with this product, test drive these products, and ultimately help the tech company through feedback and use enhance the product, change the product, or say, boy, this is not doing what we intended for it to do. And so we launched that in 2024. That had resident, board, as well as team member involvement. We went through, I think it was about 12 to 13 different original products, and ultimately settled on three. And we started that rollout in 2024. So we are currently our first company that we have worked with is a company called Walkwise from North Dakota, and it's a little wheel gadget that basically goes on a walker or a wheelchair. It has, you know, that information gets deployed to a database and to a dashboard that our team members can see. And it's monitoring steps and movement that that residents are doing when they're using their walker or their wheelchair. And that has been a phenomenal experience for us because, you know, what we have seen through that use is, one, we've been able to provide feedback to Walkwise and them to us. We've been able to use this product to enhance the quality and experience of the resident experience and their health. And our team members have got to interact with it in a way that has been able to really drive different outcomes and enhance healthcare plans and our higher levels of care, but also enhance things such simple things like resident checks and independent living, or sitting down with a resident in independent living and saying, hey, why are you moving so many steps between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m.? Like, what's going on in your apartment between 3 and 5 a.m.? And getting simple answers like, you know, well, I'm not just moving around my apartment. I'm going to check my mail up in the main building between 3 and 5 a.m. because I'm scared to come out of my apartment between the hours, normal operating days, because my mobility is decreasing. I am concerned of how people perceive me during that time, and allowing our social worker to engage in that. So Walkwise has been our first product. And then coming up, we will be starting our next project with a company called Camino Robotics, which they define as the Tesla of walkers. And it is a electrified walker that, when someone needs assistance, the electric motors kick in and drive that. When they don't need assistance, it does not. But it also has cameras throughout the walker pointing towards the person's position and posture, and it will download that data so that when they are participating in therapy, that data is given to a therapist so that they can construct therapy programs that help in their posture, help in their movement, and all of that information is stored and documented. So it's allowed us as an organization, one, to interact with these products before they're even to market, which is really cool, allow our residents to do it, and then be first in line as an organization to, you know, to implement these products into our campus or into our organization if we find that they bring value.
It's very interesting and exciting to hear how that is playing out, especially as you start to see some of the effects of the positive impact of these new technologies coming into the space to help improve the experience for residents. That's wonderful to hear. And in the few minutes that we have left, I want to talk about 2025 and what we can expect from Rose Villa this year. I'd love to just talk about what areas you maybe expect to see growth in 2025 and what areas of opportunity you see ahead. I would love to know where you're looking along the continuum for potential future growth. So what can we expect from Rose Villa in 2025?
Well, I think you can expect quite a bit of things that we are thinking about, starting to move towards, and contemplating at Rose Villa in 2025. I, you know, we are a little constricted in the amount of land that we have, but we do have some land. And so we are evaluating from a master planning and a board perspective, what we're really going to look at first. We are right now in the process of completing a feasibility study for skilled nursing at Rose Villa. A lot of providers are stepping away from the skilled nursing environment. We don't have that at Rose Villa. I think we had it at one point in time in our history, but we don't currently have that at Rose Villa. And I continue to say, boy, you know, skilled nursing is an interesting dynamic because so many providers have pulled away from it. But the question is there still a need? And there is still a need. And so would we go big in the skilled space? No, probably not. But to bring that level of service to our community, we are contemplating. And so we're in the process of completing a feasibility study and should have the answers to that, quite honestly, within the next few weeks. And that will give us an informed decision about whether or not we're going to step into that space. We recently completely reconstructed our waitlist program. So as I mentioned, we have 400 people on a waitlist. Our waitlist was very simple. Give us $3,000 and be in line to move to Rose Villa. Well, we turn about 16 apartments a year, 400 people. The math says we've got about a 22 to 25 year waitlist. That's a long time. And I don't think many people are on a 25 year retirement plan. And so we changed that into a tiered system. And we really wanted to allow residents in the waitlist program to have more autonomy and more decision making on their time frame to move to Rose Villa. So we have 32 what we define as our committed tier. That is a significantly more financial commitment. It requires $75,000 commitment if you are interested in our new neighborhoods, a $20,000 commitment if you're interested in our older classic cottages, and a monthly service fee. And that's about a 1 to 2 year path to residency at Rose Villa, limited to 32 people. The next tier is 100 people at $6,000 and no monthly service fee. But that's about a 3 to 4 year path to Rose Villa. So that has rolled out. We are effectively taking deposits on that change April 1st. So all of the new branding and press releases and everything associated with that has gone out. That also has a partnership with Healthy Lifetime, which is a University of Michigan Medical School, nursing school based older adult program for a healthy outcomes. So that's part of that Take Root program. We definitely will do some expansion of independent living. And as you and I have talked so much about today, that will all be through the lens of sustainability and definitely additional net zero neighborhoods. We're evaluating adult day and potentially stepping into an adult day program. We're also looking at a freestanding assisted living community and doing something very small on our campus. We currently don't have that. Assisted living and memory care and long-term care is all in one in our Madrona Grove, which is our health center on campus. But we're really looking at, is there a space for us on our campus to do a very unique net zero assisted living environment that really changes the dynamics of what assisted living is. We're also in discussions about an inpatient hospice program on our campus. And not just for residents on our campus, they would certainly take first priority, but those that don't live on our campus and providing that service. And then also really expanding some of our services and amenities. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but those that do not know, we have a preschool on our campus. Rosebud is an intergenerational preschool on our campus. We've evaluated what happens in the summer in our community, surrounding community. And many times families can't find places for their children to be in the summer. And we are looking at rolling out a summer camp program on our campus for children to come and be on our campus and in 6 and 8 week intervals and have our residents and team members engaged in that camp experience. So those are some of the things. And one thing that I'm also intrigued by is looking at how can we make an impact on couples, one which has mid to late stage dementia and one who does not. In most of our environments, they have to be separated because one goes to a higher level of care and one does not. And looking at, can we create a model on our campus that allows those two individuals to live together and be in an environment where the one who needs the care gets the care, and the one who does not has the freedom and autonomy that they want and need, but they can still live together and be in a safe space where they do not have to worry about their loved ones. So that is all part of our strategic planning and discussion and ideation for 2025 and beyond.
It's so exciting. And I know we'll be watching along to see as this growth happens and as the master planning process plays out. Glenn, we'll ask you one last question here and then I'll let you go. What's your outlook for 2025 and beyond? It seems like there's a lot of intentionality behind what you're up to at Rose Villa. But when you're thinking about your outlook, what are you thinking about?
Well, the outlook is rosy. I think that we've got a big need coming to senior living. We all know that. The NIC data and all the data indicates that, you know, I think the last thing I read was we to keep up with current pace, we have to build 750,000 new units by 2030, right? And we'll be lucky to build, 200 on our current pace, we'll be lucky to build 250,000 of them as an industry. And so the opportunity is there for us as providers. The opportunity is there for us to do to build and have strong occupancy. So I am super excited about that. But I do believe that the individuals that have yet to come to our door and are starting to look at senior housing in the next year to 5 years want some really super cool product. And they want not just cool product, but they want cool operations and integrity in how these organizations operate. And I think that they, a lot of what we've talked about today, at least where we sit, is what they're asking for. So I am I'm really optimistic about the future of senior housing. I'm really optimistic about the next certainly 5 years. And I think we just have to stay true to our values, not sway from them in any change of administration or any change of, economic winds that are blowing. Stay true to your values. And I think it's a winning combination for the future.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.